Good morning. I would like to, my title of my sermon today is Everything Okay With Your Heart? Is everything okay with your heart? Am I on? Can you guys hear me? Okay. I remember when I had little kids, they loved the word no. Do you remember having little kids? And that's like the second word they learn after like mom or dad is no. And my kids were older because I'm the oldest of seven. And so now there's tons of little kids. My kids are older. There's tons of little kids. Every one of my brothers and sisters had, seems like a dozen kids, but maybe it's like two or three. But there's just little toddlers everywhere. And if you listen to them bantering back and forth, one of their favorite sayings is, "You're not the boss of me." You're not the boss of me. You guys have heard that, right? You've all thought, you know, you've heard little ones be like, "Well, you're not the boss of me," because like mom's the boss. And nobody else is, because they don't like being told what to do. And I think that what's funny about that is it doesn't go away. Like, it's a little kid thing, but it's an adult thing too. We don't really want anybody to be the boss of us or tell us no now. That's like the American dream. To have enough power to say no to anything and anyone, and enough money to get out of trouble if you do get in trouble. Like the American dream. Have enough power that no one can really tell you no. That you can do whatever you want. And it's a great goal. Like, I think I want to call my own shots. But we see rich and powerful people all the time making horrible decisions and getting in a lot of trouble. Like, look at the news these days. The Epstein files and all the Hollywood actors and the rich and powerful that we've come out that they've done horrible things. And everybody's like, how could they? Well, they had enough power to say no and do whatever they wanted to, and now it's coming back to haunt them. Because this is kind of my point, is that we need to take our own advice we give to our kids. When just because someone's not the boss of me doesn't mean you can do anything you want to. That sometimes no is a good word. Because as we get older, we don't like being told no. And so what we do is we try to filter our emotions. Now, we've all learned to filter our emotions, because if you never learn to monitor your behavior, filter your emotions, you'd never do well in a job interview. You think back last time you had a job interview and someone said, you know, they asked you a question, and sometimes your emotions are like, I'm not going to answer that. Like, it's none of your business. But you learn to monitor them, to filter them. Nobody would have gotten married if you didn't learn to, monitor or filter your emotions. And no one would definitely stay married if you didn't learn to monitor or filter your emotions, because your emotions are in constant conflict with your behavior. Your emotions say one thing. You know your behavior, if it follows your emotions, it's not always a good thing. So you're trying to keep your behavior in check. And so we learn over time to monitor our emotions in life. Now, I want to look at a scripture where Jesus speaks out about identifying and silencing that toxic emotions, toxic voices in your heart or your head that get us in trouble. So Jesus is going to speak about the toxic voices, or you could call it your emotions, when they get the best of you in your head, and how to modify them, how to not speak, how to have a clean heart, so that when we speak, that it's not like, oh wow, where did that come from? Because we are able to keep our emotions in check. So we're going to look at the Pharisees. And they're trying to disqualify Jesus. They're trying to, as they did throughout Jesus' ministry, they're trying to make it so that they could say to everyone, yep, he's wrong. His ministry is a shamble. Don't listen to him. Because they didn't understand him. They didn't understand where he was coming from. He threatened everything, all of their power. And the Pharisees had pretty much the power to say no to whatever they wanted to, and they could hide behind their upbringing, their teachings, their religious ideas, they could their intelligence and their education. And so Jesus scared them. So they're trying to disqualify him, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15, if anyone would like to turn there. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1. When some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They're not washing their hands before they eat. Now, when you first read this, you think, well, that's gross. Like, everybody should wash their hands before they eat. But this wasn't a cleanliness as far as like germs. They didn't even know what that meant back then. This was a ceremonial cleaning that part of the Mosaic law. Moses, you know, he gets the Ten Commandments of Mount Sinai, and supposedly, like we don't have proof, but supposedly God gave him this verbal spoken law to support those Ten Commandments. And so this Mosaic law was a lot of verbally spoken, they weren't allowed to write it down, verbally spoken rules and regulations and laws. And so one of those laws is priests need to be ceremonially clean. And they do that through a series of washing. So it's not lathering up with some Dial soap and killing the bacteria. This is more of a ceremonially cleansing of your body. Nothing bad. But it wasn't something that Jesus thought was needed. It was a Mosaic, you know, voiced law that really wasn't the Ten Commandments, so he didn't do it. Now, this is what's interesting. One of the rule of ceremonially keeping washing hands before you eat was Jesus saw that there was a problem with some of these little laws, these spoken laws. And the problem was is they made God seem so small and petty. Like, really, God was so small that if you didn't wash your hands seven times before you ate, you weren't going to be blessed by God? Like, that's how God has to, you got to have to do that? And there's nothing wrong with these Mosaic spoken laws. There's nothing bad from them. But they're trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to say, well, everything he said is not going to qualify. It's not real. He's not a real, you know, a real voice of God. Because, look, he doesn't even wash his hands before he eats to make himself ceremonially clean. And so Jesus replied in verse 3, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" So he identifies these Mosaic spoken words, these spoken laws, as their tradition, as their laws of the tradition. He's like, why are you going to break a command, the big commands, for the sake of your traditions? He makes this point, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. He makes this point as he uses an example. And he says, for instance, the law says, the commandment says, honor your father and mother. Like, we all have heard that one. But they use a loophole. And their loophole is if you're going to give all your money and your inheritance, I suppose, to God, then you don't have to honor your mother and father. It's okay, this is the loophole that they use. It's okay to say, hey, mom and dad, I can't take care of you because I've given all of my money or all of my time and energy to God. And that's okay. And so Jesus brings it out and he says, well, what about you? You don't honor your parents, which is a real law, in support of this traditional loophole law that says, yeah, you don't have to honor your parents if you want to give it to the church or to the Lord. And then he goes on in verse 7, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So he talks about their religious systems and their leaders, and we've seen this throughout history of people doing this, trying to control people with the church or the law, the truth, trying to say, okay, you have to follow me. And if you ever see someone that gets on a pulpit and says to you, you know, I need you all to do this or stop doing this because, you know, that's the only way to go into heaven or it's the only way to make God happy with you, then don't follow that person. Because we're going to find out that God's much more concerned with the words that we say and how it impacts people than if it supports a tradition or a worldview. Now, he keeps going in verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. This is powerful. What goes into your mouth does not defile them. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. God's not small and petty. He says, it's not what goes into your mouth is not a big deal. Again, talking about this oral law. In Leviticus 11, we see that part of these laws are things you can eat and you can't eat. Can't eat shellfish. Can't eat pork. And a lot of scholars believe that it's setting them apart so they don't look like all the pagan people around them. But also, we know that undercooked pork can be really, really hard, can kill someone. that undercooked, some of these meats undercooked, there's parasites and there's bad things in it that can make people sick. And so some people think that that's why that there's this was in the spoken law that we don't eat these certain things because it's, you know, helpful to keep people from getting sick. But regardless of the why, the old in the Leviticus 7 of chapter 11, he says, you know, we don't eat pork. And now Jesus is coming and saying, hey, what goes into your mouth, it's not a big deal. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. And their thinking is, wait. It does. That's not true. It does defile them. Again, he's breaking more of these oral spoken traditions. Then he goes on. Verse 12 says, then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know the Pharisees were offended by what they heard when they heard this? Leave them. They are blind guides. It is, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. He's saying that they used religion for their own gains. That they're using religion. They're trying to hide behind knowing all these things and that other people don't know so that they can just use it and keep everybody on track and hold everybody accountable to these traditions that are okay, but not worth disobeying God, not worth following the commands of God, the law of God. And he says, it doesn't matter what you put in your mouth. Pretty much dissing the whole Mosaic law. He's like, it doesn't matter what you put in your mouth. Well, actually, if you read in the Old Testament, it does. Even though, you know, through Mark 7, Jesus changed the world and now whatever we want to cook and eat is okay. It doesn't go against the law. But before Mark 7, before they understood this, he's dissing the Mosaic law by saying, what you eat doesn't hurt you. It's what comes out of your mouth. Verse 16. Are you so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? And they're thinking, well, yes, we do understand that, you know, you eat and it goes in your mouth, into your stomach, and your intestines and comes out, like, you know, we get the anatomy lesson, Jesus. But, and then he goes on, he says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things defile them. What comes out of your mouth comes from the heart, and these things defile them. I think it's a strong, strong statement, because we've all said things, and maybe when you said something, you're like, where did that come from? Like, I didn't really mean that. But how many times have you said something in an argument or to a group of people or something in your life and thought you had to go back and say, hey, I didn't mean that. Sorry. I didn't really mean that. I'd rather think that not everything that comes out of my mouth comes from my heart. I'd like to say that sometimes it comes from my heart when I say really nice things, when I'm encouraging and loving, when I'm lovingly trying to direct someone or give them good sound advice or some moral understanding, or when I'm preaching the word, I'd like to say, yeah, that comes right from my heart. But when I curse or when I lie or when I, you know, think evil thoughts, then I just came through it. I watched something on TV yesterday and just kind of came out. It's, you know, but Jesus, he says, hey, what comes from your mouth, it has an origination. It originates from our hearts. Now, if you believe that, and you take a quick moment and reflect of some of the things you've said in life, then it's not very hard to identify that, wow, our hearts are, they might not be that healthy. That our hearts can be mean and nasty sometimes. That our hearts need to be checked up on. That, you know, if I was a car, then the check engine light would be popping on from time to time because my heart wasn't quite right. If I'm going to monitor my heart from the words that I say, then, wow, I need to really check and see how my heart is, see what's going on with my heart. Verse 18, he says this. Let me just read it to you. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. Sometimes our filters break down. Most of us have created a filter. That's how we've stayed married, stayed employed. That's why we still have friends, because we have a filter. We don't just say everything we think, because nobody would want to hear that. It would be a difficult time to make friends or to carry a job or to have a spouse or to keep relationship with your children if everything you ever thought you just kind of sputtered out? So we all create filters. But sometimes those filters break. We get tired. We get angry. We get emotional. And when there's emotion playing through it, then our filters aren't as strong. Because the emotion's so strong, it just kind of spews out whatever's in our heart because that filter breaks down. And so as part of this sermon is everything okay with your heart? We have to look through that filter. And we have to kind of identify how is my heart doing? Because we're never going to be able to speak with the Lord and never going to be able to fill ourselves and strengthen our hearts and say, God, clean out that yucky stuff in there. Transform my mind. Help me to be connected to you and abide in you and help me to grow closer to you and more like you. If we are walking around this earth thinking, oh no, everything's great with my heart. There's nothing wrong. We can't identify it and get help and seek the Lord. If we can't, I say, okay, looking at the words that I've spoken over the last 6 months, there might be some issues with my heart. There might be some anger or some hurt in there. There might be some jealousy. There might be some fear that kind of drives me to say things that I shouldn't say, and it makes my heart feel heavy and away from the Lord. And to identify those things and is the way that we can bring the Lord in and say, okay, God, how do we push through this? What do we do? Verse 19, Matthew 15, 19 says this, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." That what comes out, not what goes in, that's what hurts. And I want to say that God's not worried about what you eat. He said that. And I believe that he doesn't want us to he's not worried about what we say because he's going to get offended. I think it's going to be hard to offend God. I think he's worried about what we see, or he wants us to monitor or clean out our hearts, because what we say, what comes from our heart, what comes out, it affects people. It affects the people closest to you. Your heart, if it's healthy and loving, full of God's grace, you're going to be that to people around you. If your heart's, hardened, and your heart is bitter and hurt people, and your heart is jealous, all those evil, those gross things we don't want to ever think could be about us, then that's what comes out to those around us. That your heart, the words you say, when your heart isn't okay, it puts you at odds with God, but it puts you at odds with people. What type of a witness am I if my heart is hard? What kind of a witness am I if I really secretly have animosity against people? If I really secretly, am judging those people, thinking, yeah, you shouldn't be like that. You deserve that, because there's something broken in my heart. How we treat others is important to God. And our words that we say, that is how we treat people. The words that come from your heart is a clear sign of how healthy your heart is. And if we are on track to be that witness, to run that race, to be that man or woman, that Christian that is out there making a difference in our circles, it starts with our heart. It starts with what comes out of our mouth. So as you think about this, I want you to monitor your hearts. Let us all learn to monitor our hearts, because we have a better boss of us than us. We have a boss that the Lord in heaven doesn't just want our hearts to be pure so that would honor and glorify him, but wants our hearts to be pure so he can use us in this fallen world. Every once in a while, you'll meet someone who has a pure heart. Like who's not saying they're perfect, but we've all met people they have a good heart. And it changes, just a little bit of time around them changes how you feel, changes how you think. Because their hearts are, what's coming out of their mouth is encouragement. It's real love. Not like, we've all had people love us, say the right things and make us think that they care about us. But in our hearts, we know they don't really. They're just saying what they think is right. We've had people say things and love us in ways that we're like, wow, they really care. It makes such a difference. I've always thought that, there's an old saying, and instead of telling people how much you care, show them. because nobody feels love by actually feeling like that person cares about me. Show them how much you care. Don't tell them, show them. Because people are going around all the time telling people, yeah, we care about you, and we care about how you're working, and we care about your family, we care about your health. When it comes down to it, a lot of it's selfish. They care about it because they want something. But if we can have clean hearts and care about people because the Lord cares about them and because God cares about us, we can really change people's lives. We can really make a difference by showing them what our real true heart thinks. And the only way we want to show people what our heart thinks is if we say, Lord, clean it out. I need to change the oil and tune up the engine. And it comes with us dealing with what might be in our hearts. So if you ever have prayer time this week, or you have a time where you're in the car and, you know, it's, you know, turn the radio off, or maybe put some worship music on quietly, and think about the words that you say. Because that will help us to identify what is really in my heart. And I've done this periodically for years, and I'll be honest with you, every time I do it, I'm surprised at what I find in my heart. Like, I need to recommit myself often to the Lord and say, Lord, that jealousy or that anger or that pain or that mistrust or whatever it is that can sneak, that the enemy is constantly trying to sneak into your heart, Lord, take that from me. Help me to see people the way you see people. And the only way I'm going to ever see people the way you see people is if you clean out my heart. So I want to encourage you, ask yourself, is everything okay with your heart? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you're looking for rest, looking for peace, then you say to fear or anger, insecurity, envy, jealousy, you say to them, you are not the boss of me. I have a bigger boss. I have a boss that not only loves me, but loves those around me and wants to use me to love those around me. The people closest to you experience the overflow of your heart every day. What are they experiencing? They're experiencing something that's powerful, that's Christ-like, or are they experiencing something else? If they're experiencing something else, ask yourself, is everything okay with my heart? And if it's not, then give that to the Lord. Identify it. Lord, I feel envy in my heart. Take that from me. The Lord says if we ask, he will give. That he's not going to say, nope, not going to give you that. You can keep that envy and jealousy right in your heart. That he wants us to identify what it is and ask him, Lord, take this from me. And when you feel it creeping back in, then, you know, pray for that person that's making you feel that way, or just say to the Lord, Lord, this is not who you are, not who you've called me to be. I want everything to be okay with my heart, so take that from me. Amen? Amen? Amen. Please stand with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you how powerful your scriptures are, that we can just take a few verses in Matthew here. And Lord, you're speaking to us 2,000 plus years later, and Lord, something that we can do every day, and I pray that we would every once in a while, do a checkup on our hearts. Do a checkup, stop, pause, pray, think about, Lord, what's in my heart? What's coming out? Like a car engine, if your tailpipe is smoking and backfiring and cracking, you know your engine's not working right. Same as with our mouth. If things are coming out of our mouth that are ugly and don't look like you, then something's not right with our hearts. Then let us take a moment, identify what is it that I feel, and pray, Lord, that you would remove that you would give us the strength to not identify with that anymore, not to keep picking that up, but say, no, I'm forgiven, so I will forgive others. No, I'm loved. With all my sins and issues and problems, you still love me. Even though I've fallen so far short of your glory, Lord, you still died for me. So how could I not in my heart actually love other people? Because look what you've loved me. Or, you know, maybe it's jealousy that gets in there and say, Lord, look how much you've blessed me. Let me run my race and not be jealous about someone else's running theirs. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to monitor our hearts. Because, Lord, our filters will always break down. Lord, our filters only work so well. But when we go to the core, to our hearts, we don't need a filter anymore. Because what comes out is pure. It's from you. It's what you can use to be a witness more powerful than any words we could ever speak. So, Lord, I pray you would help us to identify if our hearts need some more of you or not. And, Lord, fill ourselves with your heart, with your love and your presence, so that out of our hearts, the mouth will speak goodness, pleasing. We'll speak uplifting, encouraging words. We'll speak love to people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.